Welcome to Healing Hearts Ministries, where Pastor Tapper gives you biblical solutions for today's problems. Healing Hearts is brought to you by the New Covenant Church of God, located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. You are welcome to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for Word and Worship, or go to our website at healingheartsnyc.org. Now, let us join Pastor Tapper as he shares with us the living Word of God.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Healing Hearts. I am Pastor Isaac Tapper, pastor of the New Covenant Church of God at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. Thank you for joining us today. Do you ever look at some people and wonder why and how they handle adversity so well? The Bible said David comforted himself. Where does one get the knowledge and the power to comfort oneself? The book of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 tells us that by two immutable things, God's oath and promise, in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become our high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The letter of Hebrews found the people of God beginning to be persecuted by the Romans in the first century. Paul's letter to the Hebrews was written to help people who needed help on two fronts. Number one, he wrote to the Hebrews as new Christians. They needed a deeper understanding of God and His Word. Number two, they needed to be strengthened in the heart and in their spirit because of the severe suffering they were undergoing. This book was written at the beginning of Nero's reign, the cruel emperor of Rome who killed Christians for sport. These verses are designed to impart understanding and strengthen a depressed and a hopeless people. The first thing God wanted us to know was that Abraham is the father of all who are faithful. And if you believe in Jesus, God will declare you righteous. Just as God imputed or credited Abraham with righteousness, and righteousness means a right standing with God. Just as God imputed righteousness unto Abraham, God has made you beneficiaries or heirs to the promises God gave to Abraham. You will not find a better deal any place on this earth. All Christians are heirs to the promises God made to Abraham. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Galatians in chapter 3, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promises that God gave Abraham." But God had to make sure that no one tampered with these promises. Hebrews 6:13 tells us that God could find no greater person to swear by, so he swore by himself. When he made the promises to Abraham, God swore by himself. I'm sure you've heard people say, "I swear on my mother's grave," or "I swear on a stack of Bibles." But when God looked around to find someone or something great enough to swear on, he found nothing or no one, so he swore on himself. I know someone is saying, "But I thought the Bible said that we should not swear." And it does say that. Matthew 5:34 says, "But I say to you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, neither by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But God can, because God made heaven, and he made his throne. He made the earth, his footstool. He made Jerusalem, and he made every hair on your head. God made them. So if anyone can swear, it is God, because he made all things, and he may be the only one who can swear. But verse 14 tells us that God said to Abraham, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. Bless and blessings and multiply and multiplying were repeated for stronger emphasis in verse 14. And the Bible said, and after Abraham had patiently endured for almost 25 years, then God gave him the promise. Men on earth swear on graves and Bibles and by their mothers and their fathers, and they do that to bring an end to all disputes, the Bible tells us. But God had to do something even greater, for he had to show once and for all times, he had to do something so that the word of God could never be undone or changed. God's promises had to be something that could withstand the test of 4,000 years of tampering, tinkering, fixing, meddling, and translations, because this promise to Abraham became a covenant, and the covenant became your salvation, and your salvation became your ticket to eternal life. For there is no room for editorial discretion or poetic license when it comes to the promises in the Word of God. The promises God gave to Abraham some 4,000 years ago had to reach us just like God gave it. So God was the first one to add to his promise a confirming oath. It's the same thing we practice in many courts today. Have you ever heard the bailiff ask someone to raise their hand and to place their other hand on the Bible? And then he says, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? That is the promise that he's asking that witness to make. And then he adds these words, so help me God. And so when the person repeat those last words, so help me God, that becomes the oath. So the first part was the promise, and the second part was the oath. That is something that came directly from God. God gave a promise, and then he confirmed that promise with an oath. Why did God do that? Because verse 17 tells us that God wanted to show the immutability of his counsel. What does that mean? The unchangeableness, the irreversible nature of the word of God. God wanted the word to become unalterable. That's why in Matthew 24, Jesus says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word, the word of God, the word handed down to us through generations, shall not pass away. The prophet Isaiah wrote, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. He later wrote, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God's word shall stand forever. We can rest our lives upon God's word. The Bible said that with God all things are possible in Matthew 19:26. But there's one thing that I found that's impossible with God, right here in Hebrews 6. It is impossible for God to lie. God gave two immutable things, unchangeable things, his oath and his promise, and it is impossible for God to lie about his oath or his promise. Why did God make his oath and his promise unchangeable? He did it so that we might have a strong consolation. And that's why many people are able to go through very difficult, very devastating times, because they recognize through the Holy Spirit, God has given them a strong consolation. That means that God has given them a strong comfort, a strong relief on the inside. God has given them strong help on the inside, so much so that our lives are built not upon sand, but on the solid rock of God's word. And it makes your life unshakable. Even when others around you are in turmoil, you are in the eye of the storm, you are in the calmness of life. Even when you look out and see things swirling around you, God has given you a strong consolation, a strong comfort, strong relief, strong help, so that you might have a powerful and a mighty and a forcible comfort inside of your heart and your mind and inside of your spirit. The Bible said that God promised to give you a peace that surpasses all understanding, an incomprehensible comfort that will hold you even in the roughest and the toughest of times. Just 2 weeks ago, I was sitting in a church with over 1,000 people just across from my father's body. It was his funeral. He passed away. But while I was sitting there, I had a serenity about me that I didn't fully understand at that time. It wasn't until I read these verses this week that I began to understand that God gives us strong comfort in times of distress, testing, and tribulations. God gives us a strong consolation in the times that we need it. Strong because He gives us comfort, help, and relief in times of distress where others cannot understand and others cannot help you, but God understands and God helps. The Bible says that only those who have fled for refuge can understand this. The Holy Spirit endued us with power beyond our own abilities to understand the harsh realities and the harsh circumstances of this life. The Bible said in Hebrews 6 that we have fled for refuge. And what are we fleeing or running away from or running to? We are fleeing the confusion and the troublemakers and the bad habits. We are running away from toxic people and abusiveness and the addictions of life. We're running away from the hurts and the wounds and the scars and depression. We are running away from grief, shame, and even suicide. We are running away from these things, and we are running into the city of refuge, which is Jesus Christ Himself. Paul took this imagery or this passage from the Old Testament cities of refuge. And in the Old Testament, whenever someone killed another person accidentally, he could flee to a real sanctuary city because the law called for an eye for an eye and a life for a life. So there was a place even under the mercy and the grace of God of the Old Testament law, there was a place that God gave His people where they could run for sanctuary, they could run for help in times of trouble, and it was called the cities of refuge. But God in His grace knew that sometimes accidents happen, so He established these six cities in the promised land so that the accused could run there for protection. The man or woman didn't have time to stop at the local food store to pack a lunch. They didn't have time to drop by to say goodbye to an old friend or to pack clothes. The condemned man or woman ran for his life to the closest city of refuge because those seeking revenge were chasing him to kill him. If you are sinking in quicksand and a rope is thrown to you, you are not going to take time to see if your hands are clean before you grab the rope. You will not say, "I don't feel much like grabbing that rope today." When you are in a desperate situation, when the events and circumstances of life are hard chasing you, you don't have time to turn around and to pack clothes or to say goodbye to people or to see if you can fix this or fix that. You must run to the city of refuge, and that refuge is Jesus Christ. Today, as Christians, we are fleeing people, running people. And what are we running to? We are running to Jesus Christ, our city of refuge. What are we running from? We are running from the things of this world that would trip us or cause us to fall by the wayside. The Bible did not say you will have strong relief if you run for refuge, but the Bible said we who have fled for refuge. That infer that there is trouble coming. But only those who are running to Jesus, running to the city of refuge, will have this strong comfort, this strong hope, this strong consolation in order to protect their hearts and their spirit. This strong hope that Jesus is talking about has a potency that will sweeten everything around you and everything about you. In the Old Testament, the law was plain. The roads to the cities of refuge had to be well marked with no obstructions. They all had to have bridges, and they all had to be wide enough to accompany that person or to make sure that person had room to flee to that city of refuge. And once in the city of refuge, the man or the woman could live there rent-free, food-free, clothes supplied, but he could not leave that city until the high priest died. But our high priest, Jesus Christ, lives forever. And as long as we live in the city of God, as long as we live inside of Jesus Christ, we are safe, we are saved, and we are supplied. John 15:4 tells us, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me." No matter what devil is waiting for you, no matter what devil is trying to chase you or do you harm, if you run to Jesus, if you abide in Jesus, if you abide in him, you are safe. In spite of all of Abraham's failures and sins, God kept his promise and Isaac, his son, was born. It may surprise you, but most of God's promises do not depend upon your character, but on his faithfulness. It does not mean that character is not important. That is why God said in Hebrews 12 to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Abraham patiently endured, but this letter, the book of Hebrews, it was written to people who were about to give up, people whose endurance was running out, and they had to flee, run, escape somewhere for help. And God told them to lay hold of the hope that is set before them. That means to grab the hope of God, to grab the hope of Jesus, and hold it tight. In the Old Testament, someone could run to the tabernacle and grab hold of the corners of the altar for safety. We are to lay hold of the hope set before us. And then we read these amazing words in Hebrews 6:19. This hope we have already. The hope is not only in us, but it is God's written word, God's manifest word to us. It is in his promises, and it is his oath. Because God said it, it settles it once and for all times. I want to share with you some of these promises that God has given us and our lives rest upon. Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul said, "Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You've got to grab hold of that promise, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. You've got to grab hold of that promise. Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You've got to grab hold to that promise. In Psalms 118:17, a dying woman once told me that she grabbed hold of this promise and it caused her to live. It says, "I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. James 4:17 says, "Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." In Hebrews 11:6, we find these words, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You must grab hold of that promise. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Paul writes in Philippians, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And then 2 Timothy, Paul writes, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And Jesus says further, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them." And then Jesus says, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." The words of God is spirit, and the words of God gives life. The Bible says, "This hope we have already as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." The anchor is sure, and the thing, the word of God that it holds on to is steadfast. Why? Because our God enters behind the veil. He is the forerunner who has entered for us, even Jesus, who is our high priest. He is our forerunner. And why do we know this? Because Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Note what he said. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." That makes him our forerunner. And he said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you will know." So there are three reasons for the certainty of comfort in our salvation, according to Hebrews 6. Number one, God's promise to us. Number two, God's oath to us. And number three, God's Son to us, who's become our forerunner and our high priest. May God bless you. God bless you today. My prayer for you today is that you seek the Lord daily and learn to feast upon him so that you may live forever. Healing Hearts is a listener-supported program and is made possible by your financial gifts and free will offerings. If this program has encouraged you or blessed your life, then become a Kingdom Partner by donating to this ministry every month. Call or donate online today so that people everywhere will be blessed by the good news of God's Word. My mission is straightforward and comes directly from the words of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Join with me in this great mission. Until next time, this is Pastor Tapper saying, a man or a woman who never gives up cannot be defeated.
You have been listening to Pastor Isaac Tapper and Healing Hearts Ministry, brought to you from the New Covenant Church of God, located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York, 11369. Join us on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock for more Word and Worship, where Pastor Tapper gives you biblical answers for today's difficult problems. Healing Hearts is a listener-supported ministry, and we appreciate your financial support. If you would like to support this ministry or obtain a copy of today's entire program, call us at 917-935-5374 or go to our website at healingheartsnyc.org. Join Pastor Tapper next week at the same time for more healing hearts, and may God's love continue to restore your life.